Ladies and gentlemen, this is America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA.
But Carrie, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I do have to say, you are the most knowledgeable about health policy, just superlative.
And now, America's Healthcare Advocate, Carrie Hall.
Hello, America. Welcome to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. You can find out more about us by going to the website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. All the shows are posted up there. If you want to send me an email, if you have a question, comment, something I can help you with, feel free to do that. I get those emails and I answer them, and I'm happy to help you if I can. Behind the camera is my producer, Mr. Dave Thiessen. Behind the microphones, Garner Cowdery. We are here in the beautiful Cumulus Studios in Overland Park, Kansas, bringing you this show today. I want to give a shout out to 95.5 FM, 1440 AM, the Big Talker in Topeka, Kansas, KMAJ. We are now part of that broadcast up there. Happy to be there. We're on Saturday mornings. I want to thank them for putting us on the air and welcome them to the America's Healthcare Advocate family. Mr. Matt Thomas is joining me in studio. Thank you, Matt, for being here today. He is the executive director and the founder of Fern Foundations. Let me tell you a little bit about these folks and how I got involved. So my men's Christian group, Bible study group, is at Legacy Christian Church here in Overland Park, Kansas. We meet every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. in the morning. And we got involved with Firm Foundations in the prison system in Kansas. And Matt Thomas has worked with us extensively. And we are very involved in helping their organization do what they do. The amazing thing about these people is how they take these inmates, these people that are incarcerated, give them an opportunity to change their lives and go back into society and not be recidivists, not be people that are back out on the street doing the same things that put them in jail in the first place, okay? You all know from listening to this show that I was a police officer in Washington, D.C., Orange County, California. I was a police officer in the military. I was an MP. So I've been on the other side of the fence. But I also know a lot of these people are in situations that cause them to wind up doing things they shouldn't do, okay? And they get in prison, and then they get into the prison system, and they go, and it becomes a constant. They get out, they're back in. They get out, they're back in. Some of these folks don't even know how to function on the outside, and they purposely create crimes to go back in again. So what I was so impressed with what Matt has done, and he started this from scratch. He was in jail. He was incarcerated. He's going to talk about that. But they are turning people's lives around, which is why I'm doing this show today. So, Matt, welcome.
Thank you, Carrie.
Let's start with your journey. I read all of this morning. I was doing show prep around 5, and I was reading, you know, your story. You were in Arizona. You were incarcerated, and you came to Christ.
Yeah.
Okay? And it made a difference, and then you started turning your life around. And today, here you are running this fabulous organization that literally is changing people's lives. So let's just start with you.
Yeah, so for me, I grew up in a pretty rough environment. My house was pretty rough. My mom, bless her heart, you know, was an alcoholic, and my dad wasn't around. And so, you know, back in the 80s, you know, if you were 7, 8 years old, you pretty much ran your own program and did what you wanted because, you know, we were all latchkey kids. And I think through that, coupled with not such a great environment, I started getting in trouble at a really young age. And the outcome of that was I had spent some time in juvenile hall on and off. And then I'd spent all my teenage years in a home for wayward boys, Agape boarding school. And so it was just the pattern. And so eventually, I was highly addicted to methamphetamines. I ended up catching a couple charges for burglary, a stolen car, and some drugs. And I did 3 years in the state of Arizona. And in that process is where God really got a hold of me. And you know, I know people will say, hey, I came to Christ, but I got to tell you, he pursued me. And when I was transferring from jail to the prison, it was the conversation of hey, are you done? And I was done. I didn't want to do drugs anymore. I didn't want to be part of that. And so in prison, we dug in as honestly as a prison camp, and we planted a church inside of prison, and it changed the prison yard. And I've never experienced that because I never grew up in church. And the outcome of that really helped me change my life after prison to where well, I was able to start with a good group of people, firm foundations, and start planting churches inside, but also providing housing for guys that come out of prison to make sure that they have a safe place to start.
Yeah, so and to my point earlier, you know, if you grow up in an environment where there's not a... Look, if you're in a single mom household, the chances for getting into this kind of trouble are significantly higher than if you've got a mom and dad at home, you know, and it's very, very different. And these kids start out, and I saw this when I was a police officer, these kids start out, you know, making small petty burglary. Right. Now, typically, they're runners doing selling drugs, helping the drug dealers sell their drugs on the street. They get involved in this. They see the money. Yep. They see the return. They don't have a home where there is a firm foundation. Yep. Yep. Okay, if you will. And the next thing you know, they go to the next level. And who are their peers?
Oh, the same people doing the same thing. And so, yeah,
right. Yep. And so it becomes it's a natural progression. And it becomes part of their daily life.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the problem is there's no way to break the cycle. The schools certainly don't handle this and can't handle it. And in most urban environments, you know, these kids pretty much do what they want to do. And so what you're talking about here is something that is life-changing. And for you, obviously, you've been doing this for how many years now?
It has been 13 years now we've been around.
Okay, so that's a pretty significant commitment, a significant part of time, you know, to put this organization in play. But, you know, John Stockton, who is a very good friend of mine, the one who got me into Legacy, Christian, was the one that brought this to me. And he was telling me the story about a young immigrant here from El Salvador, I think. I can't remember his name. But anyway, he's here. He grew up in a very difficult home, an abusive father, the whole nine yards. And he committed murder, all right, at a very young age, and has been in the prison ever since. And he's going to be paroled. He's going to get out. He's done his time. He's paid his price for what he did. But his concern is, what is he going to do when he gets out? Okay. Now, he's in firm foundation, so he's building a foundation. But this is a guy that if he had had a different opportunity in life, who would he be? So, and I'm not saying there aren't people out there, don't misunderstand this, there aren't bad people that deserve to be in prison and should be there for a very long time. What I am saying is there are a host of these people that if given the opportunity, they will change their lives and they will turn their lives around and come back into society and be productive members of society. And really, isn't that what we want?
Yes.
Isn't that really what we're trying to do?
Yes. And that's why it's important while we are inside of the prison to work with these men and women, but we work with mostly men because if you can help the ones that are going to be there for a long time change, then that changed the dynamic of the prison.
Yeah, it changed the dynamic of the prison. And when they come out, they're not just on the street with here's a brown paper bag with your personal items in it and get a bus ticket and go wherever you're going to go. All right, we're going to come back from the break. We're going to continue this interesting conversation with Matt Thomas. He is the founder and executive director of Firm Foundations. Their website's firmfoundationsministries.org. We're going to talk about some of their needs here as we go through the broadcast today, but you can call Matt at 913-257-7300. We'll be right back after the break. Stay tuned. We've got more here on America's Healthcare Advocate. Welcome back to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast here on the HIE Radio Network. You know, all these shows are posted on our 16 podcast platforms. They're also up on the YouTube platform, America's Healthcare Advocate. So if you want to go up to the YouTube platform, see the show, maybe you'd like to talk to this to your, maybe you've got a men's group or a women's group or your church or your civic group or who knows, okay? And you hear about this, you know what, this might be interesting. Well, they can go up and listen to the podcast or you can actually look at the YouTube page, and the shows are posted up there by Dave Thiessen every week, so the broadcasts are there, and you can suggest somebody if they want to listen to them. Matt Thomas in studio with me. He is the founder and executive director of Firm Foundations, firmfoundationsministries.org, and their phone number, 913-257-7300. If you want to find out how you can get involved, they can certainly help you with that. So 913-257-7300. So, you know, I can just hear people out there, you know, spinning ahead. Yeah. These guys say they're going to get religion and they're going to come out. It's just a foil, et cetera, et cetera. Talk about the responsibility of the inmate to come to you and to prove themselves that they are, in fact, making a commitment to change their lives with your help. We're going to talk about that in the third segment, how you do all that.
Okay.
But talk about the responsibility of the inmate, because this is not a free ride.
No. So we have processes and procedures in place where these men have to become accountable for not only their actions, but their behaviors. And so not everybody can just sit there and decide they want to be a leader just because they want to be a leader. Like, we have a whole process. We have a group of men that are actually the leadership of the church and the organization inside of the prison that these men are accountable to. And so they live with them. They're actively around them 24 hours a day, but they're not allowed to be getting high. They're not allowed to be active.
Are you saying there are drugs in prison?
I hope that doesn't shock
you people, believe me.
I will say this, that drugs are absolutely saturated in prisons all across the country. And to be honest, the sad thing is it's not just the men or the women that are bringing it in. There are staff members who are down on their luck and also drone drops. Honestly, as crazy as it sounds, drones are dropping drugs, amounts of drugs in prison. And it is a killer of anything good. So we hold these men accountable. They have to be clean and sober. They have to be actively engaged in the whatever call outs, which are church services and other things that are going on. They have to be actively being discipled. And through that, we're able to visit with them about the things that got them incarcerated in the first place. And even before that, like, your behaviors are symptoms of a bigger problem. So what's the bigger problem? Where's the trauma that you've suffered that is causing you to feel this way? And that's where we start attacking the direction that we're going to go. We don't ever just say, hey, you're awesome, you're tall, you're good looking, you speak well, let's put you in place. Like all that's secondary to, are you healing? Are you growing? Are you being honest about who you are and what you've done? Are you working through the problems that are going to get you put back into prison when you get out if you leave this way?
Yeah, or are you going to be the guy that's because, well, you know, I'm the victim. I had a rough childhood. I grew up in a rough home. I didn't have the kind of home that I had a single mom. And maybe she was an addict or an alcoholic, like you said, whatever the case may be. Maybe the father was abusive, whatever the case may be. You still have choices.
No, you have accountability. I think that even in my life, by the time I was 12 or maybe even 11, I had already made the decision that I was going a different direction because that was enticing to me.
Yeah.
And so that's the time where the damage of my childhood maybe impacted the decision, but then it became my responsibility when I started causing problems.
But you didn't recognize that at the time.
No, absolutely not.
You were caught up in the whirlwind of what you were doing.
Yep.
These are the cool kids.
Yep,
this is
the only place I feel that I belong, because I don't belong anyplace else.
That's why they join these gangs.
Yep.
90% of the time, it's because it's replacing something in the home they don't have.
Yep.
And then it goes from bad to worse.
Yep. It never just gets better. You will end up with worse charges and worse situations, and that's just the snowball of that.
And then, unfortunately, along with that comes the addiction to drugs like meth.
Yes.
Heroin, the other problems that are out there.
Yep.
That these people. So the idea here that what Firm Foundations is doing is they're creating a path for these inmates to go down this path. And I would guess that it probably isn't always stumble free. I mean, I would imagine that there are going to be problems that, you know, it doesn't just happen magically.
No.
People are human. They make mistakes. They're going to go back.
No.
You know, talk about that a little bit.
So I always tell people, and people always ask, you know, they want the magic. What's the statistic? What's your recidivism rate? And the truth is, I always tell people, is always 50%. Like, I could doctor the numbers to say, as long as they finish the program and do this, you know, we only have a 10% recidivism. But the truth is, when dealing with people and problems, 50% make it because 50% deal with the situations that they have and are accountable and are teachable. there's a behavior that you learn through time that if you don't take care of will always cause you to go back to that lowest point in your life. And even if you're not really cognitively thinking about it, you will find yourself in the same situation. So it's if we can address that, none of them go back. Like, as long as they can get to that point where they understand that this is where I made the decision to turn my life, and then I'm going to change, nobody goes back, because nobody wants to be like, for me, I don't want to go get high anymore. I don't have a desire in my body. Now, I'm not going to go hang around the areas because I know that without fail, you know, temptation is temptation, but I don't sit wanting to do these things. I don't drink anymore, so I don't sit wanting to drink, but that's because there's a spot of me through work and therapy has healed.
And that's what makes the difference.
Yes.
It's not magic. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to be willing to go through the process. And if they're willing to go through the process, then they're going to find a way to get the
problem. Yep, and they won't go back.
So we're going to go to the break. When we come back to the break, I want to talk about the practical things they do. So you've heard the philosophy now. You've got an overview of what they're trying to do. Guess what? It doesn't work for everybody. He said 50% of the people it works for. No, the other 50% it doesn't, because they're not ready to do it. They're not ready to accept it. But even when you look at, if they can turn 50% of these people's lives around, that's quite remarkable. So we come back to the break. I want to talk about how the prison system relates to this. Or what kind of cooperation are they getting? And then I want to talk about what they do and how they do it from a practical side. When they get out, what does Firm Foundations do? Okay? To help these guys and gals get back on their feet and start to lead a productive life. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HI Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. If you want information, that's firmfoundationsministries.org, 913-257-7300. Stay tuned. We've got more right after the break. Welcome back to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. You know, all these shows are up on our 16 podcast platforms, Spotify, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, Cumulus, you name it, we're on it, okay? So you can always go back and listen to one of these broadcasts once the show is done. Also, up on the YouTube platform, if you want to watch the show in studio with our guests, you can certainly do that as well. This is a great opportunity if you want to tell somebody in your civic club, or maybe you know, your church organization looking for a group that you could interact with and do some real good with. This would be a great group to do it. It's Firm Foundations. In studio with me, founder, executive director Matt Thomas. Their website, firmfoundationministries.org. The phone number, 913-257-7300. If you just want to get to know these folks a little bit about what they do. Our group at Legacy is very involved with them, and if you guys want to get involved, this is a great way to do it. All right, so now you've all seen it in the movies. The guy gets out of prison. The big gate opens. He steps out onto the street, and he's got a paper bag in his hands. And what? Where do I go from here? Okay. Yep. So talk about what happens. You guys, he's your guy.
Yep.
He's in the program. He's doing well. But here comes the hardest part. Now they've got to go back and adjust to life as a law-abiding citizen versus being in the gang culture, whatever the case may be. Yep. Matt?
So it's really weird. And honestly, it's kind of funny. You always see in the movies the big gates, but like in reality, it's like a double swinging door. You know what I mean? And the guy's coming out with a cardboard box and a bag, and he's just like, but no, what we do is ahead of time, we place them in a bed and we save a bed for them when we get about to the 3 month range. Sometimes they have family pick them up. Sometimes we pick them up. It really depends on the situation.
Right.
But when they get, what they do is when they get to the house, we show them.
One of your five houses.
Yes, one of our five houses. Okay. We have houses in three different cities, Wichita, Topeka, and Kansas City, Kansas. Right. Right. And so we will get them to the house, get them to meet the house leader and the city lead. Our structure is you have house leads, city leads, a regional director, and then it's me and my operations director, Adria, who's really the backbone of the operation. I just have a better mouthpiece. So, but what we do is we get people in, we want them to get settled. Hey, what do you need? How are you doing? Okay, we have to talk to parole. We have to do these other things. But right now, let's just get your stuff put in place. And let's make sure you call your parole officer. The cool thing about parole is I have been working in the Kansas Department of Corrections system on and off in different prisons since 2012. And so I've built a really good relationship with a lot of people through the system. So like Lansing, the facility, I've been.
That's where our big prison here in Kansas is, Lansing.
And so Lansing has a medium and a minimum and a max area. But I have been working in the prison with a couple other nonprofits, Brothers in Blue and Freedom Initiative, the church planting stuff, to where we have really built rapport because the guys that I work with, I'm able to relate to them on a different level than just an outsider coming in because of my past. And so I'm able to like really walk and help these men walk in integrity and be accountable to something bigger than the prison code and the mess. And so it helps doing that. So when they get out, they're ready to take on the things they need to. Most people will tell you housing, employment, and transportation. Those are your big three.
Three huge problems.
But the bigger problem is accountability. Who are they hanging out with? And are they dealing with their mental health? Because I've seen men over and over again that have great jobs, transportation, and a place to live completely wreck themselves out of loneliness and hurt and pain. And so what we try to do is we try to match them with a good church group, a good men's group, and a good outside people group that they can help walk in accountability with and just live life with that'll love them and accept them and will care about them. And so through that, we're able to see more success than, because we tried just housing and then it's been a formulaic, you know, mess going, trying to figure out how can we be most effective. And what we found is the housing coupled with the church, coupled with good accountability, it leads to success, and then they get a good job, and then they, you know what I mean? Then they get their own car and they're ready to move out. And so we have guys that stay for 3 months. We have guys that have stayed for over 2 years that have walked down.
Really?
They've walked down our leadership process and growth and become successful so that when they leave, they're definitely not coming back. And so that's kind of how we do it.
And that's the cool part.
Yeah.
They're not coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they get out, they come to the house, they don't have a job yet. Okay, and they don't have any money. So you guys are feeding, clothing, housing them?
Yes. Yeah, so what we do is we built the structure to help all people come out. So we don't charge a first week rent. We don't charge a down payment. We don't. What we say is, hey, we give you your first 2 weeks free. Like you come, you get settled in, it gives you time to go to parole, get a job, you know, maybe help get some assistance with food and just whatever you can get going.
So does parole help them get a job? I can only imagine. Am I going to hire a guy who's been in prison?
Yeah. So parole here and is really amazing. So there's two regions. There's northern and southern region of parole. Andy Allen's up here and Katie Hersberger is down in the southern region. And both of these offices are so good at being able to, they have job hunting places, they have job building skills, work ready.
Okay.
Yep. And so they do a lot now. So in parole, what they've done is they have created a housing section and a job readiness section to be able to help build the man or woman up to be ready to find a job. And then through an organization called Mentoring for Success, which is a KDOC thing, they're able to help these guys get a mentor that also helps them find a job. And so we just collaborate through the process to help them be successful.
You know, and it's funny because I've heard, obviously secondhand, but I've heard through John and other folks that employers that, you know, take a chance on these guys in different positions, different jobs, wind up being pretty happy with them because they're very grateful to have the opportunity. I mean, if they're really making an effort, if they're in the program, they're trying, that job means it's a lifeline to that person.
So I want you to think about average Joe or Jill that doesn't care, can walk out and get a job. You
anywhere.
Know, yeah, hey, and shows up late. And did, you know, yeah. And then you have, and I can just use myself because, and there was me, the first day out of prison was a whirlwind, but the second day it was 7 o'clock in the morning, walking through town, knocking on doors. Hey, my name's Matt Thomas. I just got out of prison yesterday. I'm looking for a job. Can I, you know, and I got a job cooking in a restaurant that way. My first day out, and then so I was working three jobs at one point, and I was super thankful for the opportunity just to do something better than wasting my life away in drugs and that mess. And it makes you work hard. harder when you are appreciated and you appreciate the situation.
Yeah, and so I guess the message I'm trying to get across here is if you run a car wash, you run a restaurant, maybe you're a bricklayer, you know, you're a construction contractor, you may have an opportunity here to get some really good people that would be more than happy to have a job and ever grateful to have it. Whatever, you know, business you have or line of work you're in, if you're looking for people, this may be an opportunity. It's something that may make sense. So you're looking for employers that are looking for people to come to work for them, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, and the way to do that is to reach out to Matt at 913-257-7300 or at their website, firmfoundationministries.org. And that then they can connect with you. You help them match up people that would be appropriate for that particular job.
So it's kind of neat. What we've tried to do is change how we do it. So we don't do a lot of top-down. What we do is we do peer empowerment. And so we empower these guys so that they empower each other. And then it's long-lasting and change. And so rather than it being from us, we empower them to be successful, give them the resources. And then by proxy, they do this with each other. And so you have this ongoing thing. It's kind of like healthy discipleship where it just keeps going. And so when a guy gets to the house, he meets the guys, they know he needs a job. Well, hey, over here at American this, or oh, hey, I'm over here at this, they're hiring right now, I can take you down and we can get you an application filled out. And they do it naturally with each other, and it's the most beautiful thing in the world.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, you've got people that are grateful for that opportunity because it means a lot more to them than the average Joe on the street who, if he doesn't like it or just, you know, whatever the case may be, can turn around and walk out tomorrow. These guys are accountable. They want the opportunity, and it may be an opportunity for you to get some folks in your business that would make a big difference for you. So, once again, if you want to reach out to them at Firm Foundations, Matt will be happy to talk with you. 913-257-7300, 913-257-7300, or firmfoundationministries.org, firmfoundationministries.org. Give it a little thought. You might be surprised. It might be something very worthwhile. If you're, you know, maybe you've got a company and you need labor, you know, that kind of work, and you're going through a lot of turnover, this may well be worth your time and trouble. So, in other words, give it a thought. Firmfoundationministries.org is the website. I'll be right back after the break. We'll wrap it up in the last segment. Stay tuned. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate here on the HIE Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HIE Radio Network. My guest in studio today from Fern Foundations, the executive director and founder, Matt Thomas. And we're talking about their prison ministries program and how they take these men and women and help them get back on their feet and become productive members of society. You know, obviously this has nothing to do with healthcare, right? But in what I try to do on this show is do things that I think are going to be impactful to the community and can benefit the community. And I know about these folks, you know, as I said, my men's group at Legacy Christian is heavily involved with them. So what do you need? I know, I've worked with enough nonprofits, and I've worked with Sheffield Place, which is a shelter here in Kansas City that takes care of women and children, women who are addicted. And I was on the board of directors there for some time. I know what that walk is like. I've worked with another group called Benil Hall that took in veterans and homeless men who were addicts, all of them, and I know what that's like, and there is a need. You know, we talked off air. I remember going to one of the produce companies here in Kansas City and said, you know, at Benil Hall, we can't buy enough fresh produce because we don't have the money. Is there any way you could donate? Well, they were amazing and generous and gave us, you know, all the fresh produce, fruits, vegetables that we could handle, and then some. So, you know, if you're in a business, I want Matt to talk about what he needs. Think about how you might make a difference with your company to help them.
Yeah. So there's a few things. The classes we teach, so we have a year and a half long leadership class that our guys take, and we pay for all the books because most of these guys don't have money.
Correct.
And so, you know, it runs about $6,000 per 15 people to run through the year and a half class. And so that's always a need. And then, I mean, we have houses, and so, you know, houses break and heating and air system. And so really finances and people that can do skilled trade stuff would be absolutely wonderful. But I think even with the financial piece, it helps us to be able to find stability, because we have guys that get out of prison all through the year at different times. And unfortunately, sometimes it lines up to where four people out of a six-person house just got out of prison at the same time. And so there's no money coming in from the house. And so, I mean, of course, we cover the cost of running the house, and, you know, they're older houses. And I mean, it's the getting the stability and regularity of finances coming in that would be a huge help. And then having somebody that can maybe do an addition, or like we have a roof that needs replaced in Wichita, or, you know what I mean? Stuff like that would be a huge help for us.
So, and that's interesting, because I was also the chairman of the board at Don Bosco, and one of the companies that was very involved, and one of the founders of the board of directors there was a man named Joe Privateer, and their company, Mark One Electric, and the amount of time and effort that his people put in keeping that facility operational. I know he does work at Little Sisters of the Poor. I mean, so if you are a contractor, you're somebody that has that ability, you can help. Maybe you're a roofing company, whatever the case may be. They need this kind of help. Maybe something simple. Maybe it's putting in a water heater, or whatever it is. And also, you know, if you are that contractor, maybe you get involved with these folks and help them out, and they turn around and help you out by giving you reliable people that want to become a journeyman or whatever the case may be, and learn how to do that particular trade. So there could be some real synergy here. So that's one of the areas. They definitely, obviously, they need donations. So people are more than able to make donations to you.
And we are fully, nonprofit, 501c, so we can give tax receipts.
Okay, so they're a 501c3. Okay, so you can donate to them. It's tax deductible. The website is firmfoundationministries.org if you want to get involved, your church wants to get involved. What about things like donating clothing and that kind of thing?
So not so much clothing, because we don't really have a clothing bank per se.
Okay.
And so what happens is people give clothes, which is awesome, but then you end up with like three bedrooms full of clothes. And so it's like, what do you do? What do you do? But sheets. Like newer sheets, we have an Amazon list that if you go to the website, I think it's on, and it's, so we have what we call bed in a bag, and so our new members that come out, this is what we give them. We give them brand new sheets, a new pillow, a little bit of clothing, or maybe a certificate for some clothing, and a couple bucks to get some food from the store, so that they have something to sleep on and live in when they get out. So everybody gets a brand new set of stuff that they can take with them when they leave. And so that's the goal, is so when they take the next step, they have a blanket and a full, and like the dorm style bed in a bag type stuff. And so, being able to help with those would be amazing also.
So those are just practical things. Yeah. I mean, think about that, bed in a bag. Okay. If you've got sheets, maybe you want to donate, or whatever the case may be, or go to their website. They've got an Amazon list up there. What a great way. Go to their website. There's the Amazon list. Click it and buy it and send it to them. They'll be more than grateful to have it. This is the kind of thing they need. By the way, they are also looking for, and I know this because I'm helping them find one, they're looking for a grant writer. So if you're a grant writer out there listening to this broadcast, they're looking for you. You give Matt a call at 913-257-7300. We've only got about a minute and a half left, but talk just very quickly about your interaction with the prison system, and how are they for partners for you? I would imagine they're pretty happy to have you.
Yes, so I will talk about my buddy Nick. He's one of the deputy wardens at Lansing, and him and I have such a great relationship that we can call and talk to each other. And when I've had guys that are getting in trouble that are known gang members, he has opened up a door for me to go while they are still in segregation to have a conversation about how to better their life so that they stop doing what they do. And at the same time, if I've ever needed anything, the prison has always been available to help me. And so we have this, like you said, a synergistic relationship to where I work with the guys that are the troublemakers, because I love those guys. And on the flip side, it helps them because there's somebody that cares enough about these guys to say, hey, you're worth more, and let me show you how to do that.
I really appreciate your coming in here.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, and I hope... I do these kind of shows where I think it can make a difference. You know, I've done lots of different shows like this for charities and foundations. This particular one really, it was something I felt I needed to do, and I wanted you all to hear this. And I, once again, you know, if you want to get involved, if you're a church, a civic group, maybe you're, like I said, maybe you're a contractor, maybe you own a restaurant, you need people to wash dishes, you need people to, you know, to cook, whatever the case may be, they would make a great partner. And it's an opportunity for you to make a difference and an opportunity to help these people get their lives turned around. The website, firmfoundationministries.org, firmfoundationministries.org. The phone number 913-257-7300. And now I leave you with this thought from Martin Luther King. Americans must learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we will surely perish together as fools. Truer words were never spoken. Thank you for listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HI Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. Goodbye, America.